You are listening to a sermon by Laura Sportak, recorded on Sunday, March 20th, 2022, at Point Grey Inter-Mennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Good morning to everyone. Thank you for attending our little gathering. On February 27th, when Catherine spoke to us about the Transfiguration, she spoke of liminal spaces where the veil between us and God is thin and we can catch a glimpse of divinity at work. I think it may have been the same Sunday during the response time that Cynthia Friesen used the phrase, the umbrella of grace under which we are invited to live. I've reflected on both of these phrases in this past month, and they have been a kind of springboard for the thoughts I offer today. There are also two books that have informed this meditation and given me the title of this message. The first book is one I encountered in 1994, and I've read it numerous times since then, as this rather dog-eared copy of the book demonstrates. Virginia Stem Owen's book, God Spy, Faith, Perception, and the New Physics, explores the question of the relationship between physics and metaphysics. She proposes that there's an intimate connection between spirit and matter, and that paying attention to this is the means for us to catch glimpses of God and God's purposes for us and for our world. In the words of Shakespeare, she invites us to join her in taking upon us the mystery of things as if we were God's spies. The second book is an illustrated children's book I've only recently discovered. Paul Thiessen sent me a retirement card illustrated with the image you see on your worship sheet. This image. I was captivated by this image. And when I looked up the artist, Quint Buchholz, I then discovered and subsequently bought his book, The Collector of Moments. And I'll show you the cover. It's kind of large, but there it is. It tells the story of Max, an artist, who rents studio space in the home of a boy who is the narrator of the story. Over a year and a half, the boy visits Max in his studio while Max works on illustrations. The boy plays his violin or does his homework while Max paints and draws. Max never shows the boy his artwork. When Max leaves, he gives the boy the key to the studio, and the boy finds all the illustrations displayed for him to finally see. In front of the first illustration in which Max has depicted himself, there is a note that reads, "The Collector of Moments." In the process of retiring from a lifetime of working in healthcare, many questions of identity and worth have surfaced. This meditation reflects on today's lectionary readings to share some of my thoughts on how the identities of spy and collector might inform us, whatever stage of life we are in. Laura Erickson will read our first passage from the book of Exodus. It's Exodus 3, 1 to 8, and 13 and 14.
Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God.
The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into the good and spacious land flowing with milk and honey. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. Now, the first thing we notice in this passage is that Moses was observant and curious. When he spied the burning bush, he took time to inspect this strange sight. And we are told that it was at the moment when Moses went over to look that God called to him. Is it when we take the time to go over and look that God speaks? God names the physical ground on which Moses stood as holy. If we hear God naming a patch of earth holy, what does this piece of evidence reveal to us about God? What are the implications for us that God told Moses he was to show respect to the ground he stood on by removing his sandals? In the next moment, God identified as the God of people who Moses knew of, but had never met. These included his own father and historic figures whose names were well known to the Hebrew people. We are told that the emotion Moses felt was fear, so much so that he hid his face. So despite his initial curiosity and desire to catch a glimpse of God, in this encounter, Moses has not the courage to spy God, but instead hid his face. I wonder how often we get close to those liminal spaces where the veil is thin, but then we retreat and, like Moses, look down and cover our eyes. Despite his fear, Moses continues to respond when God discloses the rescue plan for the Israelites. Moses boldly asks for God's name and is given the name I Am, the name of presence in the present moment and in all future moments. This moment in time is remembered as a holy moment. Even today, many thousands of years later. Moses and the Israelites collected these moments, enshrining them in their oral and written histories. Artists throughout history have collected them in illustrations. And these many thousands of years later, we still recall these holy moments and we know of this holy place. Moses was a God spy and a collector of holy moments. Our next reading is from the Psalms, Psalm 63, 1 to 3. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. The psalmist identifies the mission at hand in these opening words, earnestly I seek you. Like a spy on a mission, the psalmist's whole being is consumed with the goal of finding God. Virginia Stem Owens describes this God spying as a single-minded way to live, akin to Paul's directive to pray without ceasing. And she writes, the cares of this world are no excuse. You've got your eyes open or you don't. Whatever the great human enterprise currently in hand, the point is to watch. All the rest is addenda. Seeking the kingdom is the essential integer. Paying attention is not a passing whim or an occasional occurrence. Paying attention will cost us our entire life and will take our entire life. The Psalms are our most concentrated collection of recorded experiences of encountering God. In the 150 Psalms, we hold this treasury of collected moments that we can relive and learn from, be encouraged by, be warned by, and find comfort in. I recently read Jim Houston's letter number 14. These writings are being posted on the Regent website as letters from a hospital bed, reflections of a 99-year-old. In this letter, he speaks of the significance of dreams as he nears the end of his life and concludes with this prayer for his readers. Dear Father, as my friends that read this letter enter their sleep, may they, as they seek for it, even long for it, may they expect your presence. May they each invite the Lord to enter their unconsciousness, to press upon them your knowing of them, of their uniqueness, and to affirm in them the precious identity that they have in Christ, so that even though their conscious minds might be ever creative in resisting your love, their dreams might be the place where they are known most deeply. Amen. Jim Houston is God spying and collecting holy moments even in his sleep at the age of 99. Jim said he often reads a psalm before he sleeps. The psalmists were a group of fellow God spies and collectors of life's most intense and intimate moments. In our third reading of the day, we hear a parable from Luke 13, 6 to 9. Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard and went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. Jesus notes that fruit is not always found in the expected places. Disappointments happen. When one does not find what one seeks, despite all efforts, it is good to acknowledge this reality. Such is life. Spying and collecting have their failures and disappointments. But Moses did not run away from the place where he felt fear. The land in which the psalmist thirsts for God is dry and parched. After 3 years of ministry, Jesus was crucified. Jim Houston is preparing to die. There is war in Ukraine, present-day earthquakes in Japan, and the UN tells us that world hunger and famine are on the rise. Grief and loss are real and ever-present. Can spying and collecting still make sense to us in such a world? I'll invite Evan for our last reading of the day from the prophet Isaiah 55:1-9.
Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy, eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money, without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler, commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near.
In the end, the promised rewards of seeking and gathering God moments will be exponential and include nations you do not know. There is no end to what God reveals, and there is no limit to the resources of God. The prophets could be considered our professional God spies and collectors of the truths that reveal the character and purposes of God for those of us who are the children of God. These four lectionary readings communicate to me not only my purpose and mission in life, but my very identity, especially at this time in my life, when I begin to wonder if there is anything of value left for me to do or to be. At the times in our lives when we face endings and feel that our remaining moments are few, can we see into the eternity God invites us into when we spy God's purposes? None of us can maintain such hope on our own. For this, we have each other, the church, and the Word of God in our scriptures. We are indeed invited to live under this communal umbrella of grace. I am instructed by today's scriptures to pay attention when I see a burning bush, to thirst for God with my whole being, to discern where the fruit may or may not be found, and always, always to seek the Lord where he may be found. In other words, I'm called to be a God spy and a collector of moments, constantly looking, always paying attention, recording my findings in the way unique to me, and witnessing to the people I am given in my life. I find great comfort in this identity, even when I falter in fulfilling it perfectly. And I find great comfort in your stories, your accounts of collecting and spying. These actions are ends in themselves. They are not so much productive or useful as they are holy. I am called not only to take off my sandals, but in the end, to shed my mortal body. Yet these actions of spying, looking for all that God is, and collecting the gathering of all the moments of God's grace and glory in this world, are the work of eternity. I am assured that this work and my part in it will continue on the day of resurrection. This is not a specialized calling. It is rather the work of each of us in the church, if we choose to accept this mission given to us. This is the cathedral we build, the symphony we compose, the perfect mathematics equation we solve, the masterpiece we create, the work we do each day. This spying and collecting is our answer to that wonderful question posed by the poet Mary Oliver, who writes, "Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?" We are each part of this great mystery shared by those who take upon us the mystery of things as if we were God's spies. Amen.